Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think most of you know how much music means to me. You know, for one thing, you don't end up with a doctorate in music without having studied a little bit about it. But I think there's so many things that are important about music. I already shared you what Luther said today. But there are so many things that have come out of our church in terms of music I think are important. And one is what the theme of my sermon is of today. The only problem is the hymn was not in our hymnal here, but it's one I'm going to preach on today. This is a tune that was written by Pastor Philip Nicolai, and he is in a town called Unna, Germany, which is by Dortmund. In 1597-1598, the Black Plague had hit this community. And think about this. If the plague hit a little town, okay, let's say you had a town of 500, the plague killed 60%. All right, so if you are killing 60%, 500, it's almost 300 people, right? So the bigger the town, the more people. Anyway, Pastor Nicolai, and if you notice, it's Italian, okay? Nicole. Anyway, in his little town, 1,300 died, and he was the pastor. There were times that he did as many as 30 funerals a day. What would that do to somebody's psyche? You know, their soul, you know, would lay pretty heavy, I think. So when this was in its big throes in 1599, he wrote this hymn that I'm going to preach on today. And he wrote it as an encouragement, a statement of faith in the coming of Christ, who will overcome everything through his death on the cross, and who overcomes death for us as well. Poets usually write words, and then somebody else sets it to music. That's the way most popular music is done today. But Pastor Nicolai, is it Nicoli or you're Italian, aren't you? And I see you, well, how would you pronounce that? Nicolai, okay. Wrote both the words and the music. In fact, it was such a powerful piece of music that Johann Sebastian Bach took it and made it a cantata or chorale for today's service. And it's the cantata is called Sleepers Awake. In German, it's Wacket auf, ruft uns die Stimme. I gotta make sure that my dentures don't fall out when I say that. Okay? But here's the thing. The text on this is not negative, because we're talking about Christ coming back, yes? And he tells us, we don't know when he's going to come back. Oh, now if I was fire and brimstone, Peter, oh, you got to be ready because the day of judgment's going to be there. No, that's not the purpose of this. And that's not what it says. Be aware, guard against fires, against floods, against hurricanes. Yeah. Because we will face all those kinds of dangers in our life. But who can you depend on? God, on Jesus. And Jesus will come back to us. That's what we celebrate in these 4 weeks, is the Advent, the coming back of Jesus. Now, when we talk about Advent, we're celebrating two things. So if we're talking about his return, what's the other thing we celebrate? His birth. And what happens right after this? Christmas. Okay? Which is why we do this. And so any time that Jesus comes from heaven to be with us, is it important? You bet it is. So what happens in what this, first of all, it's Isaiah, is where this originally comes from, is we talk about the bridegroom coming to be with his bride. All right, who's his bride? The church, all of us, okay? No, we're not that way, okay? It's one of those things, we are his bride. And it's important, okay? So as we get into this, we celebrate the joy of the wedding banquet, the joy of Jesus coming with us, the joy of our joining together in the heavenly marriage between the bridegroom and the bride, his church. Okay, let me sing a little bit of this hymn for you. Some of you are going to recognize this. Wake up, wake, for night is flying. The watchmen on the heights are crying. Awake, Jerusalem, at last. Midnight hears the welcome voices, and at the thrilling cry rejoices. Come forth, you maidens, night is past. The bridegroom comes awake. Your lamps with gladness take. Alleluia. Prepare yourselves to meet the Lord, whose light has stirred the waiting guard. Is there any? Well, thank you. Is there anything negative in that? No. Is that joyful? By the way, what key was I in? Okay, it's supposed to be in C. Almost. How's it B flat? If you can't be natural, B flat. And if you can't be flat, be sharp. I keep on saying they don't have to be good. That's true, though. But those kind of hymns are important. Why? Because of the message that they give to us. And you remember, I've told you before, we confess what we sing, and we sing what we confess. Make sense? Okay. And I wish we had this one, because I think it's a great, great hymn. Folks, we lost our dear beloved brother, Roy, on Saturday. But he loved the Lord, and he was ready for the bridegroom to come to him, wasn't he? You know, we get sad, and I know, Jerry, it's been tough for you. But is he doing okay?
Yeah.
He is. You know, he's better. Okay? He's not with the pain anymore. He's with the Lord. He gets to spend Christmas in heaven. Boy, I wonder what that is like. See what I'm getting at? You know, but it's hard for us sometimes to remember that. And that's why I put this in my sermon today. But this text tells us that Jesus' loving arms are ready not only for Roy, but they're ready for us. And they are with us. I think that's pretty good. And why are they with us? Because he loves us. If you ever read Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7, that's exactly what it's telling us, is that do not be afraid, for I am with you always because I love you. All right, love is one of those ambiguous terms in English, isn't it? Okay, Greeks actually had five words that they used for love. We're going to look at three of them, okay? The first one is phileo. Have you ever heard that word before? Say yes.
Yes. Yeah,
no.
In the
song. Well, yeah, in the song, but where else? Go ahead.
Philadelphia.
And what is that? The city of
brotherly
love. Guess what phileo means? Brotherly love. Okay? Well, you guys are old Greek scholars. You didn't know it, right?
Don't be a Philadelphia.
That was pretty flowery. Okay. Don't bring tomatoes out. They're not. They're going to get better. We have eros. You've ever heard that word before?
Yeah.
Erotic. Physical love. Boy, I bet you never thought you'd hear something being taught about that in church. But that's another form of love. In English, when we say love, it's hard to tell which love we're talking about. Isn't it? Now here's the important one, agape. And agape is the one. It's an unconditional love. It's what Jesus had for us. When he went to that cross, did he say, well, you're going to be saved if Did he put conditions on it? No, he did not. And the thing is, with grace, remember how I showed you grace before? It's always with you. He's got his arm around you. You know, it's one of those things. We don't decide to follow Jesus. Why not? Because he's already with us. But what you decide is allow him to come into your heart. You with me? Yeah, there is a decision there. But it's not, you don't have power over Jesus. Jesus has power over you. And I think that's important. So, all right, so how do we define love in English? There's been books written on this. But I saw one a few years ago I thought was really good. And love is when someone else's happiness is more important to you than your own. Want me to say that one again? When somebody else's happiness is more important to you than your own happiness. Is that a pretty good definition of love? Okay. Kid gets lost in the forest. Three of the searchers die looking for the kid. That a pretty good definition of love? Okay. You run out of money. And some of us have even done this. You have spaghetti noodles and you have hot dogs. And you let your kids eat the hot dogs and you just eat the noodles. Is that a pretty good definition of love? Okay, see what I'm getting at? It's when somebody else's happiness is more important to you than it is for your own. Do we need to fear that second coming of Jesus? No. Is it a time of joy?
Yes.
Now, we know that he's coming, and I've talked about this before, as a pantocrator, the judge of all things. Do we need to worry about that?
No.
Why not? Well, yeah, we should be ready. It doesn't mean we're always on. But, Gene? Well, true. But we're in the club, aren't we? Yeah, he loves us. We're Christians. We love him back.
Stay awake.
Stay awake. Wach auf, which means that, okay? You know, what a blessing it is for us to be ready for his presence. It's a time for the gospel for us and law for the unfaithful. But it is this love that defines Jesus and his love for us and our love for him, Martin Luther. I think that's an exciting message, don't you? I think it's great. And so with that message, Happy New Year. This is what we're celebrating today. You think that's a worthy celebration? Boy, I sure do. For our prayer today, I'm going to pray the third verse of this hymn. You know, sometimes those hymns are some of the strongest messages there are. Let us pray. Now let all the heavens adore thee. Let men and angels sing before thee. With harp and cymbals clearest tone. Of one pearl, each shining portal where, dwelling with a choir immortal, we gather round thy radiant throne. No vision ever brought, no ear hath ever caught such great glory. Therefore will we eternally sing hymns and praise and joy to thee. Thank you, Pastor Aaron Nikolai, and the people of God respond with, Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.